Blog Talk Radio.
This is the title track of our CD called Gone Are the Days, song about awakening in this time and to the present struggles of the world and what we have to do to overcome all these things. So many paths, only one road to choose. If you live for yourself, you know the reason. In your eyes, let true love rule. We are made with godly attributes. Well, things gonna be right. When it's right that you choose, yes, you gotta live up now. Yes, you gotta live up now. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm a baby.
Gone are the days that I used to stumble.
Oh, I'm a baby.
Gone are the days that I used to wonder. These are the days the prophets look for.
Oh, I'm a baby.
Gone are the days all down my way. The world leaders, them are working in vain. They made the millions off the slave trade. Now they flooded the ghettos with guns and cocaine. Let them go down the drain. Lift up your voice, lift up your heart, lift up your spirit. To the eternal level, live and be one who gives it. Cause in the ancient of days, it's them that we praise. You're the only one that can fight that chain. Live up now, my people. You gotta live up now. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Gone are the days that I used to slumber.
Gone are the
days. Gone are the days that I used to wonder. These are the days. Revelation spoke for. I am aware, like a storm rising, where do we begin? Well, some have a lot, the most have not been. Out of the mouth of the phases of the land. Yes, we have gone to question brutality. The system not providing for none of we need. But them one in the luxury.
Yes, greetings and blessings, blessed souls. Don't listen, good men, and we're alive because we want to stay alive. And toward Chaim, toward Chesed, toward Rachamim. And before I go into the opening segue into the show, after listening to Gone Are the Days, I hopefully soon to be joining co-host Joseph Israel live from California, yeah, from New Kiev, California. That was from a song that came off www.jonestv.org. And accompanying Joseph was Chris Meredith on guitar and his current drummer, Mari Rami Marlon Davis. So before we go into what the show is about today, blessed souls, if you haven't read the description, let me pull in my co-hosts. First, we have Dennis Ryan. Dennis.
Hello, Don. How are you?
Baruch Hashem, bless the Creator. Dennis, I'm going to pull in Joseph and Mordechai, and then we'll get into the monologue, and we'll get into the jamming. Hold on.
The more the merrier.
Yes, Joseph Israel.
Yes, Brother Dan. Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom. I got Mordechai on the line. I got Dennis Ryan on the line. I got you, and I'm going to just pull in Mordechai ben Mosey, Mordechai ben Sarah. Mordechai.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Yes, Mordechai.
Okay, so Mordechai, we got Joseph on the line and Dennis on the line. And gentlemen, you know, I called all of you before the show, and I think we're going to have such a hot show.
It's a
I'm
good
just
company.
Hoping that my laptop... I hope my laptop doesn't blow up from the heat in the transmission of today's program. I guess before we get into our dialogue, I just want to read the description of the show today. Blessed souls, gentlemen, friends, brothers. Blessed is our Creator who renewed this blessed creation continually. We are rolling up our sleeves to continue immersing our minds in the Torah portion of Balak, picking up from chapter 24, verse 25 from the book of Numbers.
to examine prophecies uttered by the mercenary cursor and blesser Bilam, or Balaam. As well, we hope to engage in a discussion concerning the divine image of all of which all of us possess, which was discussed in brief in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, and I also want to mention also in Genesis chapter 9, verse 6. And, you know, I've asserted on more than one episode of Soul Talk, which is an acronym SOUL for S-7-O, old is the original U, universal L, laws that all human beings are connected to a unique grid. So let's try to examine what grid we've been mentioning and talking about. And I also hope, as we already have them online, universal recording artist Joseph Israel the Quan with my mind, he's guided the Plex, advocate Dennis Ryan in Village of Light, Oroville, California, Menorah Making Raw Food advocate and advocates, Mordechai Sontag, with your friendly neighborhood cyberspace activist, myself, Dr. Goodman, to be a live broadcast right now, because when it's live, you never know what might come alive. So Shababa, rejoice, Ahav Echad, one love, Goel Echad, one destiny for all of us. Gentlemen, it's been a busy week here on the East Coast. We got bombed out with snow. Maybe we'll get to that a little bit later. But I just want to ask it. We'll start with Dennis and then Joseph and Mordechai. How you doing, Dennis?
I'm doing fine. Thank you. How are you?
Baruch Hashem, thank God. And it was a rough week on many different levels. And we'll talk about that those many different levels maybe for a minute or two. Joseph, how's things out in California?
Things are good. It's a misty morning, you know, and we've had a lot of rain out here, but the spirit is strong, and we're giving thanks for life because we know that the Almighty's purpose is being fulfilled and His will is being done. Even as things seem to go a way that is contrary to it, it's only that we might everlastingly be put in the right track. So I'm just feeling really blessed to even be a part of this whole beautiful redemption that's coming on the earth today.
Mordechai, what do you have to say this morning? By the way, this gentleman, this is now the 26th day of the Hebrew month of Tevis, 5,771 years, blazing and grazing creation, corresponding to January 2nd, 2011. Mordechai, what's going on from the Village of Light in California?
Looking for business. Digging into more.
Yeah.
I know you got horse business out there.
Yeah, a lot of horse manure that I'm trying to sell for those that are interested in smelling the organic smell of the village.
Okay, gentlemen, I'd like to mention that, yes, there was a big snowstorm on the East Coast. And unfortunately, here in Kessler Crown Heights, right here in Brooklyn, New York, there were two deaths that resulted from the inability of an ambulance and an ambulette. In the first case, a young African-American woman, 22 years old, gave birth to a baby. And it took 9 hours for an ambulance to get to the house. And then also an older man, I think he was also African-American, he had died. He was due last week, on Monday, to go for dialysis, and the ambulance couldn't get to him, and he died because he couldn't get his blood cleaned. Now, why do I mention this? Because unfortunately, a day after the snowstorm, maybe, you know, Dennis is a fellow New Yorker like I am, maybe you want to chime in, I heard a statement in the name of a good friend of mine, a reliable friend, he wouldn't exaggerate, that unfortunately the mayor of New York, Mr. Mike Bloomberg, was mentioning how in the midst of the troubles of the lack of city services, that people could make it out to the Great White Way still and go to plays, which I thought was a very inappropriate statement in the light that it was publicly known. It wasn't just things that people were talking about in Brooklyn and Crown Heights, but it was publicly known via the media communications that in Crown Heights alone, two people had died. And another friend told me that maybe some other people passed away, but that's getting hushed. You know, gentlemen, I'd like you to chime in this based on what I was raised on. You know, it's not a time for boasting that people should go to plays when people are dying because of a snowstorm. And in my family, where the awareness of Torah and mitzvot and commandments is still a process going from strength to strength, and I didn't get the education that I've gotten the last 25 years, we have to remember one thing, and that's going to be the theme of today's show, and hopefully it'll be in stark contrast to the lack of respect for humanity, the lack of respect of humanity accorded by Balaam or Bilaam towards the nation of Israel, which is ultimately the causing of much damage to the Midianites and the Moabites of those days. And a simple statement that I grew up with is that, of course, God is before anything, but after that, people come first. So, Dennis, I'd like you to chime in. How do you feel that the mayor of New York, you know, one of the most powerful cities in the world, is boasting about how the Great White Way was plowed so people can go to a play? Again, remember last week, Jim, we talked about the idea people feel they have the right to fantasize, but now at least two families are living the nightmare that they lost two beloved ones, a newborn child who could have been a future positive contributor to society, and an older man whose wisdom could have still benefited society. Dennis, how do you chime in? How do we make sense out of the statements of a mayor who's boasting about going to plays in the midst of tragedy of two people losing their lives because the city didn't plow the snow in a more efficient manner to save people's lives?
You must put this in perspective, Don. Mayor, who happens to be a billionaire, doesn't control nature. However, it's going to snow or we're going to get any natural disasters, so be it. That's in the normal course of events. Now, it's interesting that you mentioned a creation. A baby was born and some people died. Any time of the year, you're going to have babies being created and people dying. So we must put this in perspective. And we cannot say the mayor would have been out plowing the streets himself. He's a happy billionaire. And his viewpoint is a lot different than us in the streets who had to fight the heavy snow.
Good point. I hear you.
Okay.
So what happened?
I want to respond to that, but I want Joseph and Mordechai to give their, you know, opinions about what I just dialogued on. Joseph?
I agree with Dennis. You know, it really comes down to perspective, and it's how the man looks at things. It's not really correct because to be a mayor should be that he cares for the people, and that's why he wants to be there. His job, even though he's a billionaire, is not to be disattached from the suffering of the people. His job should actually be to try to eliminate suffering. Though that being said, you know, it's an imperfect system with imperfect people and greedy people and every, you know, it comes down, a lot of people drop the ball more than the mayor even, like he wasn't the one supposed to plow the roads, and obviously they take care of the rich more than the poor, and, you know, but just that being said, I think a positive way to look at it is, like for the brother who passed away because of dialysis he couldn't get to, this should be a wake-up call if you're depending on the system for your health and having to go to the hospital for your health. You are in a very serious predicament. And if there's any way to get your health back on track by eating raw foods and cleansing and fasting and purify your own blood before your organs give out to where you have to go to a machine and get hooked up to cleanse your blood, I mean, that doesn't even make sense to me. That's you know, people got to take responsibility for their own life and their own situation and not wait for the ambulance. There is times when you need those emergency things, but to purify your blood, the Most High gave us the organs that do that. And most of the illnesses man is facing, man has done to himself. And truly it is the commercial giant's fault for putting out food with chemicals and all these terrible things in it. But yet it's also the consumer's fault for buying it and not being educated. So I would just say, like when all the terrible things happened in New Orleans and everybody couldn't get their medicine, they started to panic. The thing is half of it is the people's fault for even needing the medicine because they're not taking care of their body properly when it is simple to stay healthy. And we have all the herbs and foods and even fasting, and the scripture shows us how the ancients fasted and cleansed. And I mean, that's how I just really think that it goes on both sides. For anybody who's listening on the, we can be upset with the mayor, and I feel that he was wrong for saying that, but truly he is just a happy billionaire, like Dennis said. But for the poor and the underprivileged, it's time to take responsibility for our own health, and to eat healthy is actually not that expensive. It's half the problem is people overeat, And even if they're eating stuff that's not that healthy, if they would just eat less, they'd be doing better. So, you know, people should all try to really seek the truth about health. And the scriptures is the greatest health book. And there's many other good ones. Arnold Arendt, look up Arnold Arendt. Anyone's listening, look up Arnold Arendt books called Scientific Mucusless Diet Healing System. And look up Paul Neeson's books on health. And there's many other ones, but those are just a few. And that's my comment.
Okay, beautiful. Mordechai, I know you are you're a very strong advocate for raw food consumption. And I do want to get back to that seminal point that I still want to express. What's your take on what the mayor said in light of those tragedies, at least taking place in Crown Heights, Brooklyn?
What were his
still have not been reported that took place in relation to, what could there have been another response? And I want to give kudos to both Dennis and Joseph for their perspectives.
What were his exact words?
That, again, I didn't hear his words, but from a very, very reliable source, a good friend of mine for 17 years, is that the mayor, I mean, maybe you heard this, Dennis, that he was talking about... that he was talking about people can still get to the Broadway to see a play despite the storm. When already was publicly known that two people had died.
Yeah.
Now, I just want to say, too, I'm not blaming the mayor for the deaths directly, but as a leader, that to project that type of flippancy, I am against. So, Monica, why don't you chime in that, maybe elaborate more on Joseph's idea of we should take charge of our own health.
Yeah. Well, I completely agree with that. Since I'm raw foodist, I eat raw foods only. Actually, yesterday I became 90% raw because I ate some cooked. But that's like a once-a-year thing. Anyways, what I believe in is it's only me, you know. To say something like that, I don't know exactly if he had said that, you know, and for me as a Jew, I should not spread rumors, and I should not listen to rumors, which empowers the rumor spreader. So I do not know exactly, and if it's true, then it's and it shows a lot of insensitivity towards regular working Americans, but I do not know, so I cannot really comment on that. But if that would be the case, that's insensitive. On the other hand, our tax dollars are supposed to be at work, but because of the budget cuts, I've seen a video where one of the plowers couldn't even get out of the snow, and they had a huge problem moving the equipment around in Brooklyn. And one of the plowers damaged the city vehicle so badly that the person who had the vehicle issue too could not drive the vehicle. They say it could have been avoided, but it's not likely because they had to get out of there to get to work. So there are many sides to many stories, you know. I can't really 100% comment, because if something would happen here in California, I'm sure that there would be a lot more deaths resulting of high snows and heavy snows, because we are absolutely not equipped for this. And I did talk to you before about the snow in New York, and it did happen before, and the city was more prepared. But as Joseph said, to take charge of every and each citizen, it would be a very interesting thing to issue sandbags and salt bags to ordinary citizens, so everybody could take care of their own streets, everybody could take care of their own roads. If there's, such thing, I don't know, it's just an idea, you know. I know that there were a lot of strikes and people tried to get out of work, like in Chicago in the 30s, trash was piling up, knee high on the streets because, trash services didn't work anymore, et cetera, et cetera. You know, if you cut the budget, that's what's going on, that's what's happening. And that usually is not the mayor's fault, but if a mayor says something like that, of course there's an outrage. if it's true. Then about the raw foods, you know, everybody take care of their body. I completely agree with Joseph, but I also think and also agree that even if people eat junk food, eat less of it. But the problem is with junk food, there's no nutrition in it.
Right.
And people try to eat more, you know, the body is kind of craving more of it, so it would get out the right amount of nutrition, the right amount of minerals and vitamins. That's
right.
Why people overeat on bad stuff. So, because they, you know, there's nothing in it. So it's kind of difficult, you know, try to hard because not everybody wants to be educated. Not everybody wants to hear about it. Most people are well raised and, you know, how people are, they're like, oh, I don't care. I don't care. I love my meat, you know. I love my meat. I want to eat my meat, you know. So how are you going to debate with that? You know? It's not easy. Anyway, that's all I can say, man.
Okay. I would like to chime in actually from a teaching from a very great Torah scholar from the 18th century, the Or HaChaim, literally the light of life, he was called. That was his, because he wrote an explanation on the oral traditions of Torah. And he commented on the following verse, which I think will address this issue, because a leader's insensitivity didn't start with Michael Bloomberg. It goes back thousands of years to the beginning of time, the children of man, the children of Noah, and even the children of Israel. Here's an example where actually the Most High held accountable, even the Israelite leaders at the time, at the very same time that the Israelites were being oppressed. So I'm going to read the verse and then the explanation of Or HaChaim. I think everyone will find this interesting. In Exodus 6:12, it reads, "Behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened to me, and then how then Paro hear me?" So what Moses was claiming, according to Or HaChaim, is that the Israelites were unwilling to hear him talk about redemption. So the Most High replied, and which you can see in the verses of the Torah, the beginning of the in the book of Exodus, in yesterday's Torah portion, "These are the heads of their family divisions. In other words, it's not the Israelites' fault that they are unwilling to listen to you, Moses. It is the fault of their leaders, who are so far removed from the concept of redemption that they don't allow anyone to even mention it." And I can tell you, gentlemen, that over 25 years ago, the Babaji Rebbe, I consider myself a disciple of him, started really cooking in the idea of requesting of the nation of Israel and of all the nations of the world to request from the Most High to send Mashiach, to send the Messiah now. He was viciously attacked by actually from within the Torah observant community of not Hasidim and even some of the other Hasidic groups. So it became almost like, watch what you say, to the point where the Rebbe instructed people to say things but not in his name, in order that people would hear things in his name, they might get turned up to the message. And the important message is, this is the time, this is our generation, the Rebbe believed, and he taught for since 1950, when he initially became the seventh Rebbe of Lubavitch, a movement going back over 300 years, that the human race has the logistical, physical ability, by working with the physical creation in a certain, a symbiotic relationship with the creation and all the nations of the earth, to activate redemption. But if the leaders try to quell that message, why should the people follow? And so I think, though, through natural circumstances, if you want to chime in on this, that we do see. I mean, I just heard there's a horrible situation in Australia now, which has uprooted over 200,000 people, which I saw one newsline heading. It's a biblical flood.
You see it, right.
And also a horrible, horrible thing that took place in Egypt yesterday, where some sort of, I think it was a bomb that was blown, then 21 Coptic Egyptian Christians' lives were taken away in a second by their brothers, sisters, cousins, nephews, uncles, aunts, whatever, who happened to be just of another faith. I mean, this stuff has to stop. And I'm not, you know, I'm not here to promote the faith. I'm not here to attack them. But people cannot hide behind their faith to engage in acts of perfidy or acts of lack of sensitivity or speech or even thoughts of insensitivity. The Most High holds, you know, everything. People think there's not a supernal tape recorder listening to what you're saying. The wicked man says the Most High is not listening. That's written clearly in chapter 10 in Psalms by King David. So, gentlemen, anyone like to chime in on this thought? how the leaders sometimes stop the people from wanting what's better for them. And what's the responsibility of the people to become educated so they can educate themselves and educate others that, you know, maybe we should take our leaders, and I say verbally, you know, not violently. I do not advocate violence against anyone. To take our leaders to task, why are they quelling information that will empower more and more of the masses of people? Because until the masses of people are educated, all of us are suffering. Dennis.
Well, you got to remember that most humans don't like to be told they're doing anything wrong. Especially any leaders like to be told that they're not doing a good job. It's like a negative concept. However, there's always going to be resistance. When Moses Maimonides came out with his writings in the 12th century, people treated him as though he was a heretic. People wanted to actually have him taken into account by Muslim authorities and put to death. He escaped that. And what was he doing? He was only talking about God. Jesus of Nazareth was crucified because of his beliefs by pagans who said, well, we got to get rid of this guy. So over the years, anybody who tries to come out, and history has shown this over and over, anybody who tries to come out with anything close to truth, following a good straight path to God, is in for trouble.
Right.
So,
mm-hmm. Joseph, you'd like to chime in on this?
I didn't mean to interrupt Dennis. I was just agreeing with him. Do you have more to finish, Dennis?
No, I just wanted to make the point that we're going to have obstacles in our lives that we must overcome, and that's why you take charge. You take charge not only of what you put in your mouth, but what you put in your mind.
It's very true, and I agree, and you know, it just reminds me of something we went over in our scripture study yesterday. Isaiah, the prophet, was talking about in chapter 50 of Isaiah. He says basically the Almighty was teaching him, and he was becoming skillful to deliver the message that would strengthen the weary, which is the prophecy, which is the message from the Most High that would of the future blessings of Israel and the entire human race. And this should encourage us. It's of the redemption, what Dunn was talking about. That being said, you know, immediately after that, he says, so what did he have to do? He turned his face towards the smiters, you know, basically. And they beat him, and they tore his hair out. And he set his face like flint, basically to become abused. So at the moment a prophet begins to speak, he's going to be rejected, and they know it. And there's a persecution, and like you said, Yahshua of Nazareth also said, you'll be hated of all nations for my name's sake. You'll be brought before judges and counselors, and it will turn out to be a testimony, though, because the whole reason that the opposition has to come to the truth is that it actually magnifies the truth. It magnifies the Most High. Almost, we see a parallel between Pharaoh and Moses, when the Most High could have easily gotten rid of Pharaoh early on and let Israel go free without any real problem. But the whole wrestling and allowing Pharaoh to feel that he could stop it and to, you know, all those things was only to really make the Most High's name famous in all the earth. So even the opposition and the fight against righteousness and people standing up for the truth, it's only in the end going to backfire, because when the masses do understand, and we know they will understand, it says in Isaiah 14 that the people of all nations will cleave to the house of Israel and put Israel in their position and say, teach us, show us the way. And so there's going to come a day when actually everyone does want to know, and it's going to happen when they see his people, who are worldwide, stand up for the truth and love their neighbor. And, you know, like Dunn always says, we can argue about different parts of the scriptures, but the first things comes first is love the Most High and then love your neighbor. So if we don't, there's no reason to talk about anything more deep and spiritual if we can't love our neighbors. And that's just the beginning. And obviously so much of the Torah falls under that category. And we, you know, but that, I mean, that's the real goal, is that we all love each other. That's the whole thing. We're all family, whether you're Jew or Gentile, you know, we're all family. We all come from Adam. We all come from Noah.
Right.
So there's really no division. We're all the same, except we come from different tribes and there's different historical backings. But the whole purpose is that we would become whole again, and that there would be no more sin, and that we would all be redeemed. So even whether you're Jewish or a different tribe of Israel or African or American or whatever, it's like we're all going to have a chance to be made whole again. And that's the most beautiful thing. And then who's going to, you know, we'll all be happy with what, where we are, because when you gain eternal life and it says the meek will possess the land forever, the humble will actually inherit the land forever. I mean, who could, what's there to argue with then? Oh, you know, the Hebrews will have everlasting life, and so will every other nation. The thing that will have been purified is their heart. That's what I have to say.
Amen. Amen. Mordechai, what are your thoughts on the matter?
Well, about going back to the beginning, good points, guys. I really like that, both of your points. Going back to the beginning, that, you know, the leaders of the nations, the leaders of the earth will never really like when somebody's coming up with something new. And it is natural, you know, it is natural, because there's a natural law and order which is occurring, and which society goes by, society of, let's say, the ancient Israelites, the ancient, the 12 tribes lived according to a certain law. And then came the prophets. You know, it was always hard to implement anything new to any nation, because, okay, we understand this kind of life. We understand how this society works. Now we have to change something. That is difficult. That is always difficult. But for that, I would not blame the leaders of the earth, the leaders of any nations or anybody. Because it is mostly about to keep this world in relative peace and harmony, where business is still thriving, where fair trade is, or not fair trade, but any kind of trade is going on between two different nations, two different countries, and for that, you know, we need strict laws. So. And you know, spirituality and business should work together, as the Lubavitcher Rebbe was talking about. You know, that the spiritual thoughts and teachings are laying on the streets because nobody is picking them up. So, you know, make your work holy, make anything holy that you touch, make it holy. And it is difficult, you know, especially if I'm a businessman and I want to make a $1,000 profit on a $1,000 investment. So, you know, for that, sometimes we do stuff that, you know, we don't talk about things that, you know, the other side of the business deal does not know what you know. But, you know, it still doesn't mean that you cannot make that holy. There are many, many ways to make business holy. So, you know, this is why I am not against any kind of leadership or any kind of ruling class, because I do understand that it is necessary, especially right now in these years. You know, everything is in small classes. You know, without those ruling classes, there's no laws. Without those laws, there's no law enforcement. Without no law enforcement, there's chaos on the streets. If you look at, you know, Los Angeles, there's, I don't know, two or three people dies every day of murder, or any other places where, you know, there's high crime rate. But if there would be no law enforcement, there wouldn't be even that much of holding back power, of the you know, of holding that back. So everything is like a pyramid, because our society is, before the Moshiach will come, because the Moshiach, the most important thing about the Moshiach, that he will bring world peace. it's not only in the hearts, not only spiritually he'll bring the world peace, but he brings on the three-dimensional level of human societies. And right now we still don't have the Moshiach, therefore we have to live with this imperfect world that is work, you know, that is around here, and we have to accept, if we like it or not, the if you're a Christian, you understand, you know, give to Caesar what Caesar needs, and give God what God needs. So, but you know, this is a very fine line. Where this is how far I can go with this. Because I try to tie in with what Joseph was talking about, you know, tie in just a little bit. I don't want to go too far into, because that would be an interlaying, which is which there's a disagreement. And as long as I'm a Jew, I will always disagree. So, but on the other hand,
disagree with what?
You know, the Moshiach concept of Christianity. You know.
Well, I mean, I don't agree with the Moshiach concept of Christianity.
Oh, you don't?
No, I'm not a Christian. I agree with the Moshiach concept of Israel.
Oh, really?
Like you said.
Oh,
that
great.
I do believe that Yahshua is the Moshiach, yet I know, let me just say, he has fulfilled some of his role, and he is presently working on fulfilling the rest of it, and part of it is ushering in the universal redemption, resurrecting the prophets of old, and this will bring healing to all people. And I mean, to fulfill the words of all the prophets must take place. So that's what I look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with you.
Okay.
I agree the words of the prophets will be fulfilled, and the purpose of the Mashiach is not to make everyone fly to heaven or whatever, like the Christians teach. And there's some, I don't deal with that. I really believe in the words of the scriptures, and that's what that's based on. So. Just, you know, I look forward to meet you more, Mordecai, because I really like the way you reason. So, shalom.
Hi, shalom, brother.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I'd like to chime in now.
Go ahead.
Is we could do the rest of the show on this concept, but I want to get back to the idea that I mentioned earlier in the show about the idea of the divine image, which is mentioned in two places. The first place we see in chapter 1:27, it's going to have to cough again. Let me just take a drink of water. They say, you know, understanding is like fire. So I've been hearing so much understanding, my throat's getting dry. Anyway, it says in chapter 1, verse 27 in Genesis, excuse me, that the Most High created man in his image, in the image of the Most High, and, excuse me, in the image of God, and he created, excuse me, he created a male and female. He created them. And also, if we go to, I'll bring another place, in 9:6 in Genesis, whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. In the image of man, in the image of God, he made man. Let me read that again. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For the image of God, he made man. Now, in Hebrew, we have two words. We have tselem, which means image, and the name that's used there for God, okay, because G-O-D is not the real name of God. It's the anglicized, it's the, I think it's coming, if I'm not mistaken, it's Anglo-Saxon or Germanic.
Germanic.
Pronunciation, Germanic, yeah. Now, it's funny because, just as a parenthetical note, that the word God in English actually sounds like the name of the tribe, which we would say in English, Gad. That's a peculiarity that sometimes I think people come from Israel when they say, when American people outside of Israel, not people from outside of Israel, come to Israel and they call the Creator God, they say, well, he's one of the tribes. He's not, you know, I mean, that's just a parenthetical anecdote. But certainly the name G-O-D in the context of the one true Creator is certainly a kosher way to call him. And I've actually heard the Lubavitcher Rebbe call God with the name Allah, and he uses, you know, that's an Arabic pronunciation. It's kosher, but we just don't like the interpretation, which justifies, you know, human sacrifice the way it's been done. Anyway, Gentlemen, well, I want to take you to...
Let me interrupt real quick. As far as I know, though, Don, Allah, though it is in some ways related to Allah or Elohim, it is actually stood in the Arabic culture before Muhammad. It stood for the moon, and it was the goddess. So that it actually isn't referring to Yah. And actually, you'll notice that they don't say Yah or the Yod-Heh, Vav-Heh in any which way, form, or fashion. So there is a difference, though I do believe there's true Muslims that are really in their heart trying to pray to the Most High, just like I believe there's true Christians that are trying. It's just the ideologies have confused, but we're going to, you know, Christianity's praising the sun god, and they think they're praising the son of God.
But I'm saying someone like on the level of the Rebbe's understanding of Torah, he understood those things historically. But the fact that it's like this, you know, there's a teaching from the Talmud that why should we make use of sun, the sun, you know, the S-U-N, not the S-O-N, the S-U-N, because fools have worshipped it. Meaning, if that original use of that word Allah was for that, excuse me, for idolatry, I mean, I've talked to Muslims in the streets in Brooklyn, and when they say Allah, they're talking about one who is not a man, not a flesh. So we, you know, we kind of, it's a middle ground. So when the Rebbe, he was definitely not acknowledging that Allah is the moon god, that's for sure. Right. He was in the sense that he would use sometimes the term Almighty God, when the Rebbe knew for sure that Almighty God is not the almighty tribe of Gad, but, you know, referring to the one true creator. Anyway, with that being said, gentlemen, this idea of the image of God and the divine name that's used, because there are various names in the scripture of the Most High's name, but the name that's used is Elohim, which is actually a plural presentation of the name of Elokah, which means that he is the power of all powers, meaning there's angelic powers, human powers, animal powers, the earth has power, but as the source of all powers, that's what he is. But then in the Creator's wisdom, he juxtaposed this idea of Tselem, the image. So what is that all about? So this is a teaching from the descendant of King David and Solomon, actually the second Baba Trevi of Dov Ber. He talked about the idea of a Demut Elohim, a sort of like another expression of likeness, because also it said in Genesis that it says from the Hebrew, but I'll just say in the English, that the Most High said that we will make man in our likeness and our image. So what it's alluding to in this idea of likeness, meaning one name of the Most High, which is just representative of the attribute of judgment and source of all plurality, meaning the earth and seven heavens and all the various types of growth that takes place on the earth, all different types of people, meaning that's sort of a name that is used by the Most High to reveal the higher name, which we know is the Yud and the He and the Vav and the He. I hope that what I'm transmitting here is clear, that the expression of image is actually a type of essential type of design which is embedded in the human living experience, connected to their soul, as an expression, to give expression to that Yud and He and Vav and He. And in another place, in a teaching by Rav Chaim Vital, who lived around 500 years ago, he says every part of the creation has a divine name in it because everything springs out of that four-letter name. And with that being said, that the name of the Yud and the He and the Vav and the He is a very exalted name, which, if anything was directly created right out of him, okay, that it would not have its, so to speak, we as creative beings, or the creation has it from one side, has embedded within it these revelations, these great lights, this great energy of the Most High, who is beyond all of it. But yet, so to speak, is presented in a form that we as limited creatures, limited beings, can receive those revelations. So it's the way we receive those revelations are through the actual words of the Torah. That's what we see, that that it said in the beginning of Genesis that the Most High spoke and there was. We see that sometimes the Most High spoke to the prophets. He spoke to Noah, spoke to Moses, David, everyone. So that's it from, you know, I will try to mention aside in future shows, if, as I do more research into this matter, to hopefully just to read that we were made in his image in 1:27 in Genesis 9:6, it doesn't do justice to the fullness of what the divine image is. One other place I want to mention to you gentlemen, anyone listening, the divine image is also an expression of how man is cherished by the Most High, that he was given that divine image, and therefore, because we are being told we are cherished, we are actually charged with the responsibility of being connected and sensitive to our divine image. So, Dennis, you know, you read Rambam, you probably run face to face with these concepts of divine image that Rambam speaks about in God of the Perplexed. We'd like to chime in on these concepts.
Well, the Rambam said you must be careful. There is no physical attributes to God. It is strictly
right.
An image in our human minds, and we must address it on that level. So what happens is, to address it, he broke it up into several categories. He said the image consists of the immutability of God, the throne of God, the will of God, the wisdom of God, the word of God, and the work of God. It's that divine wholeness that makes God. And that's what we must address. So we cannot go ahead and just split little hairs and pick it off in little pieces. We must accept the whole thing and the concept in its entirety.
Beautiful, beautiful. Joseph.
Well, yeah, you know, I agree. It's the Torah teaches us that man is made in the image of the Most High, and obviously man and woman meaning the human race, and it's... We have, and being in his likeness, you know, obviously the Almighty is not a he or a she. So that's one thing a lot of people stumble on that. The Almighty is above that. But because, you know, the masculine and the Father, meaning the life giver, the originator, obviously he's the one that planted the seed. So of creation. And I like what you brought out, the pluralness of the word Elohim, and how what that's alluding to is just so amazing, because the Most High didn't want us to be robots or parrots, you know, that just repeat what they've heard. He wants us to internalize and digest all these things, and by looking, you know, whether it's the scriptures or the stars above, or just to see how a tree grows, or, you know, how the, you know, you can go from how the planets rotate, or how just try to understand what a galaxy is. Or, you know, no one can count the stars, but he can, you know. He knows all these things all at once, the past, the present, and the future. So we'll always be catching up to our Father, but yet we're made in his likeness. That means that we can also do a lot of things. We can also plant. We can also have concepts in our mind, and then they will, if we pray to him and ask for his blessing and ask for his, if it's his will to be done, then we will see things manifest in our life. And we can. This is a complete study of our Creator and His ways. Is pretty much man's duty, because we are made in His image. So it sends us on a quest to find our Father, you know, and that's already within us, embedded within us. And you know, Ezekiel chapter 1 speaks about the throne of the Most High, and he basically has a chariot. And not going to get into it too much, but there's four, it says, living creatures that are underneath his throne. And this is, one is represented as a lion. One face is a lion. Well, what a lion represents is justice and authority of justice. The Most High has all authority and is truly the only just one. But he also has, the other face was a face of a man. And man, of all creatures, has the ability to empathize, to love, to show compassion and kindness. So it really would represent love. And the ox is another one that's on there. And the ox represents strength. And the eagle is another one that can see eight times farther than a man. And when you can see, you have wisdom. You can understand. So it's the understanding and the wisdom. So those attributes always being present wherever the Most High is, if you read in that vision. And truly, it's a deep prophecy. But those you can see that throughout the scriptures, that everything the Most High does is loving, yet it's also balanced with justice, and it's balanced with wisdom, and it's balanced with power. He would never just use power without love. You know what I'm saying? Without wisdom, without... It all works together. So you see within man, someone might get great power, but he's lacking in love and wisdom and justice, so it can be very terrible. Or someone could be too loving, but not have the amount of power that he could actually make his love be effective. So we have to try to also balance these attributes within us to work in a balanced and harmonious way so that therefore we can reflect the glory of our Father. So it's a deep thing. But when we come together like this and we're reasoning and we're seeking truth and we're trying to share what we know and we love all the human race, because like you said, the divine image is within everyone, no matter what, where they're coming from right now, we're all his people. So we're all creation. So, you know, that's what I have to say, you know.
Mordecai, what do you have to say?
Well, I agree with the Rambam, and I also have one thing that I don't know. You know, I'm not sure because I've never read the Rambam. But if I would have been a Rambam, I also would have added something. Just me, you know. It's me. But also, I'm a divine image of the Creator. So I might be right or I might be wrong. I don't know. But the way I look at things is the Creator is all those attributes that, you know, those higher attributes. But someone had created hate. Someone had created dark. Someone had created light. Someone had created black, and someone had created white. You know, if we go from from that concept, then he had created the three-dimensional physical reality also, and it is so important to understand that we would not know what love is if there would be no hate. We would not know what peace is if there would be no wars. So all these things had been created by the Creator, and this is why it is so important not to fly away from reality. This is why Judaism is so it's such a powerful state of existence, because with Judaism you also understand every day of your life that it is not only the attributes of God, not only the higher realms, the higher spiritual realms and attributes of the Creator, and not only the divine image of that you must follow, but there's also this three-dimensional physical reality where are these laws, the three-dimensional laws of gravity. You know, if you jump off of a 10-story building, you're going to hurt yourself. You know, and then, you know, whoosh, there goes the divine image of any kind of concept anymore, of you giving anything new to the spirituality of humankind. So this is why it's so important to understand that God is not only, the Creator is not only those higher attributes, but he also is residing within this three-dimensional reality, and he is also this three-dimensional reality. It is within our every action, even in the action of Satan, he is in, because he is everything. I know it's kind of hard to understand. It's kind of hard to grasp, but it's not really, because it's so simple.
I would like to chime in on two points. That yes, there are diametrically opposing attributes of love and hate and war and peace. However, what happened, unfortunately, in the human condition, from what I understand from the inner dimensions of Torah, is because we didn't hate enough of the negative attributes themselves, which we were commanded. We were placed in this world to elevate, and because we didn't make war against our negative attributes, in fact, we started blaming it on other people. But of course, this type of ideology was implanted by the Satan into the heart of the snake, and then into the heart of Cain, who then killed Abel, the first, you know, premeditated homicide in history. And then this idea, because this came from the early children of man, okay, and then the Noahides and then the Adamites, you might call them, and then the Noahides and then the Israelites, and the continuation of the Noahides, is because of the lack of engagement of knowledge of oneself, we see the manifestation of even. I think Dennis would agree that Rambam is very, very clear that every human being should hold themselves to be accountable to what goes on in the world, and their actions do affect this world. And I would even say, on a more intense perspective, that if a person is running away from reality in search of the higher realms of the Most High, then they're seeking their own higher realms of their imagination and nothing to do with the Most High's plan for creation. Meaning, the highest manifestations of the Most High will be when we see brotherhood, on the simplest level on the face of this earth, that we all can testify and say, hey, hatred and jealousy and needless competition have been wiped off the face of the earth. These are the true impurities which are plaguing the human race right now, as opposed to the spirit of brother, the spirit of love, which is not based on any cause other than the fact that we should love our neighbor as we love ourselves. I mean, there's no alternative motive, you might say, with that, and also that jealousy. Instead of being jealous of a person's good attributes, we should emulate them. We become intellectually lazy and become jealous of a person's wealth.
Amen.
Instead of, you know what I mean? So, gentlemen, I want to play now a two-minute cut of an amazing young man. His name, he was known as Shine in the rap world. I mean, I'm not really a fan of rap music because of, it's kind of like the pornographic, violent, verbal messages and the obscene content of the videos. However, as a genre of music, it can be uplifted. And this young man has actually converted to become a Jew. He didn't have to, but he wanted to. And I'm going to play a two-minute segment. I'd like all of you to chime in. And then we'll go to the next stage of this show. Hold on, gentlemen. I hope you'll... 2 minutes I'm going to play. It's a 14-minute cut. Hopefully in future segments of this show and during my weekday 15-minute presentation, we'll play it and talk about it. Okay. Hold on, gentlemen. Here we go.
Shine of the light from the spark within. Moses is my soul, so I'm marveling in. A place far from near, travel celestial zones, trying to make it to my maker, not flesh and bone.
Believe born, Brooklyn-raised rap artist known as Shine is in Israel. And as we've reported here on Israel National News, he has adopted a Hebrew name, Moshe Levy, and a very traditional look. During the past few months, Levy has been learning Torah and reaching out to Jewish young boys and girls who need support and strength. Now, Shine is preparing his new musical project, and he met Deputy Foreign Minister Danny Aiello to see how he could help the State of Israel as a non-official or even official diplomat.
It's a very complicated situation out here. It's not as simple as black and white. And I think, there needs to be more than just dealing with terrorism and, West Bank and Gaza. They need to see that Israel is a beautiful place. Israel is the center of the world. Everyone argues, everyone disagrees, but they all agree that where the base of English is the most important place. The Muslims agree, the Christians agree, everybody agrees. And I think there needs to be more of that.
Shine, who was imprisoned due to a shooting incident at a New York nightclub while hanging out with Sean Puffy Combs and actress Jennifer Lopez, is now far from where those unfortunate events occurred, but still very influenced by all he has gone through. Shine held a meeting with reporters at the King David Hotel in Jerusalem and shared with us some of the messages he wishes to convey to the world.
Despite what some may proffer, going to prison is not a boost for your career. It actually is quite a devastating blow to your career. It's ended most people's careers. So to go through 10 years of incarceration, paying for something that I did that was terrible, and to literally be more powerful than I was, it's a miracle. While some people might call it the religious epiphany and, he found God, no, I'm just smart. I lower my voice now as just a sign of humility because I really am grateful. I don't deserve this.
So why don't you tell us about your connection, really, to Judaism?
You can go back to every hip-hop magazine, anything that's ever been biographical about me, and I've always declared my Jewish ancestry.
Gentlemen, I hope you heard that interview clearly. Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Was it heard? Dennis, you heard it clearly?
Sure did.
Did you hear that interview? That was about 2 minutes and 30 seconds. I let it run an extra 30 seconds. That, by the way, was brought to us by courtesy of Israel National News and the young man that was interviewing Moshe Levy, formerly known as the rapper Shine, is Yoni Kapinski. And if people want to see that video in its full 14-minute, I think 44-second version, they can go to IsraelNationalNews.com. Gentlemen, we just heard a young man who spent 10 years in prison, yet came out stronger from it. You know, jail is a tough place to access one's divine image. Yet we see, even in the most difficult circumstances, this beautiful young man, by the way, Lubavitcher Rebbe once told a convert, and he looked around all the room, the Jews, that he said, "You are more beloved to God than all of us in this room because we were just born Jewish. You became it." And again, let me be very careful about that, gentlemen, anyone listening. We're not promoting, we're not recruiting for people to become Jews. That's a personal decision. It's between a person and the Most High. A person can live a wonderful life, get Ruach HaKodesh, get the divine inspiration, eventually become a prophet to the nations in Israel, towards the whole world, by keeping the seven useful commandments. So Dennis, how would you like to chime in on how this man found himself and under the most dire circumstances, and how Rambam must be very proud of this young man for coming back all the way?
Well, the Rambam has always preached that we become better humans or closer to God when we think of God. And we must think of God from time to time. But there's always hope in humans, no matter how far we go to the left or to the right, that we have a conscience and it will work at some point in time, hopefully before we die. And in that view of conscience, we understand what self is all about and what is our relation to the Almighty. And just by thinking of that, we give hope to the future that everybody has a chance to not only redeem themselves, but to become better humans. And everybody has different viewpoints of this, but we have hope that everybody will follow a good and clear path to the Lord.
Amen. Joseph,
amen.
I think you agree quite easily that going to jail is not a way to promote one's career.
It's true. That it sounds like it was humbling for him, though. And a lot of times when you go through fire, you know, you got to get corrected. We all have to get corrected. So, and even sometimes things, like you could look at the story of Job, things that happen, you know, not everything, you know, there's always a good side too, even bad things happening, because it proves you, it makes you stronger. So it's just a beautiful thing to see people stepping forward and declaring they love the Most High and they want to live for His word and His promises. And, I mean, that was awesome. I had no idea that he had done that. I remember him from back in the day, you know. That's just amazing. So I'm really happy to hear that. And his name is Moshe Levy now.
Yeah, yeah. May I humbly bless you. You should link up with him and he should link up with you and you should become part of his world tour.
Amen. And I think I also agree with, hold on, just one little thing. I agree with what Dennis said, because the simplest way I thought of it this week, I was just thinking about how we're going to overcome the system and how we're going to overcome, you know, the systems of man, or you could say the devil, that we're all trapped in this world, and how is the Most High's name going to be vindicated? And truly, there's all these prophecies, but simply being stated, the image of Elohim within man and woman is going to rise to the forefront, and it will be, that's why they will choose it. You know, it will come out. So just like you said, I agree, Dennis. That's the choice. That's beautiful. It can happen.
Mordechai, what are your thoughts on what this young man spoke for the last 2 minutes and 30 seconds?
I can only, you know, whatever Dennis and Joseph was talking about, both is very important, you know. So I cannot just say my own opinion. I have to incorporate what they were talking about. And, you know, the Most High's image, you know, to be able to live according to the Most High's image it's difficult, and it's not that simple, because many times we think we do something right, but it appears to be the worst thing that we have ever decided to do. This guy here, you know, what I can say, you know, I don't know him really and never heard of him or anything like that, and sounds like he made the right decision. It's, you know, to follow down the path of his ancestors and learn accordingly, and now he contained the negative aspects of the divine image, I would say.
I wouldn't say divine image has no negative. It was his human experiences and lack of education or intermittent. I'm sorry, just to chime in. Divine image has nothing negative to it.
Oh, it's okay. Well,
but divine
image
gave man free choice, and free choice is man's choice. But that's man's choice. That's on man. You can't blame that on the creator.
So you guys think, you know, I'm not blaming.
We don't dismiss your words with the divine image.
I'm not blaming anything. You know, I just can't see just one, you know, one-sided. I just can't see only daylight where there's night. You know, I can't say that there's no North Pole and no South Pole. You know, if you put two magnets together, the two positive poles of the magnets, they're going to push each other apart. So the negative is a very, very important part of human existence and of the three-dimensional existence also, you know. So, you know, okay, don't get me wrong. You know, I'm not advocating anything. I'm not – this is how I see it, you know. you know, my problem
is – It's okay, Mordecai. Yeah, man.
You know, my problem is – check this out, guys. My problem is this. We human beings were grown up and raised with this. Be a good person. But it has never been talked about when you have hate, what is that hate is. You know, if somebody has been through hell in the concentration camps, let's say, or somebody, you know, was raised in a certain way, there's hate. I hate those freaking Nazis, you know. I hate those that are doing bad. Now, there's that hate. There's that negative. And don't, you know, hate which is bad. And here it comes, the biggest thing in human existence. Even jealousy is so important many times. You know, we think, you know, it's an absolutely negative thing. It is a negative thing, but it is necessary a lot of times because it pushes you ahead, and then it gives you more power to do something, and then you understand what your jealousy is built up of, and you're not containing, but you understand jealousy itself, that it is an attribute, that it is a part of you, it is part of human nature. And why do we have all this? Well, I don't know, you know. I can't say that I've been there and I've talked to the Creator. You know, I'm not a prophet or anything like that. And who's anybody? I don't want to hear a human being tell me that negativity is not in God, is not in the Creator, because you're not there, you're not the Creator himself, you know. I'm just fired up about this concept, you know.
I have to chime in, Mordecai. The Creator, whose name we associate with the hay and the robe and the hay, is not compelled to have any attributes, but this is a very fine point. This is an essential point that Rambam talks about. He is the source of all possibilities. It's called the Kol Yachol. I mean, he can do
there
anything he wants. However,
exactly.
However, he creates polarity in order that we, as his children, as his students, as his stewards on earth, connect the dots that shouldn't start to give a tribute to him dualistic personalities or more than a oneness. And his oneness is not even a numerical oneness. It is a source of all inclusiveness. And
right.
The very instructions which come out so clearly in the book of Genesis were clearly not because the Most High was, you know, one of the biggest mistakes people take to justify their disbelief, heaven have mercy on them, and belief in the Most High is that he, when he calls himself a jealous God. Now, so you say, oh, if he's jealous, then I can be jealous. But we're talking about an attribute. We're not talking about a human emotion here. Meaning, if the Most High hardwires the creation that we have to fully examine to understand that what we call kina, in Hebrew is the Hebrew word for jealousy. It is not human jealousy.
Right.
When he says that he hates something, it is not a human hatred. It's
exactly.
Actually like a physics. To allegorize it, is a like a physics type of variable, a matter of quantum mathematics that only if we understand it. Like, for instance, we see that when people want to go beyond themselves, and I want to lead into this point here right now. But I want to play a 58-second piece, a recording of the late Joe Strummer, who was actually the former lead singer and lyricist for actually a punk group called The Clash. And although I don't know what his beliefs were about the Most High, he spoke on a very, very clear tone, which I think is really in spirit with the Noahide commandments and the Israelite commandments, which are really all in one thing. Because let me just mention to you, and anyone listening, is that from the research I've done, a Noahide can do up to 611 commandments as opposed to Israel doing 613. So we're only talking about two different mitzvahs in potentiality, and the seven mitzvahs are only just in, like the appetizers for a larger banquet that hopefully all of us are going to universally dine on speed on that day. So, gentlemen, this is a 58-second presentation of the philosophy of why Joe Strummer was born, I believe, in Turkey. His father was an English citizen who worked as an ambassador to Turkey. So he was not born with a plastic spoon in his mouth. He wasn't born with a gold spoon in his mouth. But he actually lived a certain life of asceticism, which he tried to project through his music and to his fans and to his friends. And this is basically his life in a nutshell in his philosophy. And then, gentlemen, I'd like you to all chime in on it. Hold on, please. 58 seconds.
And so now I'd like to say, people can change anything they want to. And that means everything in the world. People are running about following their little tracks. I am one of them. But we've all got to stop just following our own little mouse trail. People can do anything. This is something that I'm beginning to learn. People are out there doing bad things to each other. It's because they've been dehumanized. It's trying to take the humanity back into the center of the ring and bother that for a time. Greed, it ain't going anywhere. They should have that in a big billboard across Times Square. Without people, you're nothing. That's my spiel.
Gentlemen, did you hear it clearly what he said?
Yeah.
Not me.
Okay. You like? Since we've been leading off with Dennis, let's go with Joseph and then Mordechai and then Dennis. Joseph, what do you think of Joe Strummer's philosophy?
I liked it. You know, I think it says... It agrees with Isaiah, you know, where it says the earth wasn't created in vain, nor to be inhabited in chaos, you know, nor to be in chaos, but to be inhabited, you know. And it is the Most High's expressed will that man, that the human race should live, that the animals should live, that his earth will live on. And, you know, that's the roots. That's the whole thing is to, and I also have to say, you know, that if people will learn to replace zealousness for the Most High with their jealousness for other things. It'll be a good world. You know?
That's
right.
A good one.
Mordechai, what do you think of Joe Strummer's words?
You know, I couldn't clearly understand. The only thing that I could understand too, there's one sentence really that stick, you know, kind of I could hear get back to the center of humanity, something like that. I'm not.
I think he said bring back humanity to the center of the ring.
Center of the what? Center of the
ring, like so to speak, like a boxing ring, like make that be the main event at a boxing event. Instead of people beating each other's brains out, let's talk about restoring humanity, which happens to be, by the way, Joseph Israel's sister, Sarah Fennell's organization, And I think that's how she accesses her divine image. Right, Joseph?
Oh, sweet.
Truly, truly.
So Mordecai,
yeah.
Go on.
Yeah. You take humanity back to the center of the ring. That's a good idea, you know. But in the ring, what do you do in the ring? You fight. you fight your inner whatever you have inside of you. And this is why, you know, I'm just fired up about the concept that we were talking about before. And I'm not saying that those are the good things. I'm not mixing good and bad. I'm saying that there's good and that there's bad. But to understand that in the ring, you have the polarity, and that polarity will always fight. You know, there will be an evil person that will hate you without any cause. Then you will hate him back with a cause. So there's the ring, you know, inside that ring, there's still fight. You know,
Mordecai, the whole reason for this experience is so that we can choose not to hate them back, even with a cause. And when that person realizes that you don't hate them, even though they hate you, then they say, wow, I think I don't hate you either. And then eventually, because it's going to get so bad, that man will actually choose to use his creative power, because we all have creative force within us.
Yeah.
And then direct it in the positive way. So this experience is for the benefit of everlasting. But and it will, when wickedness goes down, like Nahum says, the prophet, it will not rise up a second time. This affliction will not rise up again. So we're learning our experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it will come to an end, though. And then we'll still have the law of gravity. We'll still have to live within the physical realm. But man will live. Man will live past 1,000 years.
Uh-huh.
That resurrection will take place in a righteous system with Mashiach, with the right, with like the Torah describes for us. So that's my only, it's not, the Most High is not negative and positive. The Most High is
it's both
perfect.
Yeah.
His, in order to establish his humbleness to teach us true humility, he plays the humblest role and lets us choose the results of our, it says you reap what you sow, right? So man has to learn. Because if he just tells us to do it, we're not going to do it. We have to learn. And he lovingly allows us to learn. And once we learn, though, we're going to be held accountable.
Yeah, but a lot of times the only way we learn is to fall.
Exactly.
You know? So
we learn by our mistakes?
Yeah, so this is what I'm saying, you know, to completely seal off the certain negative attributes of ourselves from our experience, it means that we are only containing it, like you're putting in putting a bad guy into prison, but you will never give him, because since his childhood he had been raised in a certain way, you never give him the opportunity to burn that thing out, you know, like you put some negative stuff in a pot and it burns out. Now, to understand our negativity, to accept that we are negative, we have a lot of bad stuff within ourselves, to even get to that point, to put that into that ring and fight it out of ourselves. But for that, first we have to accept it. First we have to say, oh, okay, this is how I am. I'm an A, you know. I do a lot of stuff. I screw people over, or you know, I have desires for other women and all that stuff, you know. So this is what I'm talking about. It's not about just the positive and just the negative. It is about the understanding of these things that we have within ourselves. And if we don't accept this, then we, down the road, what happens 1,000 years later, you know, as you're talking about Joseph, I know what you're coming from. So what happens then is, you know, who says that... that when Satan comes back, he cannot reach back to those things, because we had never fought those things out of ourselves. We never accepted it that they exist. You know, a perfect world, what does a perfect world mean? Does it mean that there's only
that's
life?
That's why he must come back. That means he must come back for a short time, but then at that point it's over, you know. So then at that point there is the Jubilee.
I
want to mention one thing, but that's just why I just want to chirp in a little bit, and you get the last word on this particular segment, Dennis. That again, we have to be very careful to not make polarity bigger than the forest of the entirety of creation. Yes, we have good in ourselves. Yes, we have negative in ourselves. But if I make the subject of my endeavor to know myself by just saying what my evil is, but not knowing how to look into it from teachings of the wise, and we say of the wise of Israel, and the Torah of Israel, and the wisdom of all the nations, then I might be making something bigger than it really is. And actually, by making it, by saying, oh, I've got evil in me, actually empower it, because I'm forgetting in the larger picture, the good that's within me that struggles with my evil, both of them are nullified by, before a higher awareness, you see. Or negative and positive are just energy, that we interpret it through our attributes and our speech and our thoughts. That's something that we have to work out from our day-to-day experience. And then we have, you know, like the day of Shabbat, or we have other gatherings with friends, like we're gathering on the radio. But let's not forget, no matter what we are composed of, we are empowered and encouraged to reach not just into the higher good, in terms of as it is a polarity compared to the evil, but that which is even higher than the good and the evil within ourselves. Because the Mosei is not good or evil. Yes, he said, I created life and I created death. He didn't say, I am death and life, but yet in many places in the Tanakh, he's called the ever-living God. Meaning, he just continually exists, and he allows us to access these polarities in order to see if we'll access that higher level within him so we can defeat not just the evil, but we can ratchet up the good within ourselves. Dennis, what do you think about all this stuff?
Well, I can wrap it up to a little bit, especially Mordecai's concept here. Mordecai, you are ready for the Rambam and the Guide to the Perplexed. It isn't even funny. What happens is the Rambam is always teaching you must pick the middle road between the far extremes, left and right. You must always remember that you must be on the straight and narrow path. Now, the Rambam got into a lot of trouble because he was a realist and he used rationalism. That is a lot of human terms. And he got into a lot of trouble, but that didn't deter him from going on. And let me just give you an example of the living, breathing Rambam today. The Bible mentions abortion. It mentions it in a very narrow context. However, today Judaism and Catholicism are actually preaching and using the concept that the Rambam put together in the 14th century. What he did was he combined the moral principles and the medical practicalism together. And today, that is what both religions are practicing as abortion.
You mean as their view on abortion, not to promote abortion, but in circumstances to allow it.
He established the concept of how do you address abortion.
Right. Yeah, gentlemen, this week, you know, we're not going to get to these verses from Bilam this week because this conversation that we've had, I think, is just so rich, and I think we'll set the tone, hopefully, for future shows, and we'll go back to the scriptures. This week, the world lost a very famous man, who was very dedicated to Noah. His name was Wendell Jones. He actually was the real-life version of Indiana Jones. Everyone probably remembers the Raiders of the Lost Ark, or the sequence, the other movies that came out of it. I'm going to play about a 30-second to 1-minute brief interview with Wendell Jones of Blessed Memory, as he describes his connection to the Noahide Commandments. By the way, I think he had one or two sons that converted and became Jews, but again, that is not to promote the idea that if you're a good Noahide, your children become Jews, because his sons became Jews before he became a Noahide. He was actually from the Bible Belt in Texas. Let's give a listen to Wendell Jones of Blessed Memory.
Wendell Jones is a world-renowned biblical archaeologist and proponent of Southern Universal Law. He was the person upon whom the Steven Spielberg character, Indiana Jones, was played.
B'nai Noach is not a religion. It's a covenant that God made with Noach and gave seven laws for social justice and human behavior. Those laws are against blasphemy, idolatry, theft, murder, illicit sex, to establish courts of justice, and not eating the limb of a living animal. So you have the whole gamut, and those are the headlines. There's a lot of body stocks.
Adam and Bob.
Gentlemen, you heard a few seconds of Mr. Jones of Blessed Memory. Anyone like to chime in?
Let Mordecai go first.
Mordecai. Is fire, I was on fire today. I'm sorry, guys.
It's okay. I told all of you, I thought this show would be fired. Well, the good news is my laptop didn't get inflamed.
All right, guys. All right. Well, that's, yeah, no hard commitments are important in a way that it's the forerunner of the 613, but we know that the Creator had given Torah to Adam first, and everything is after that. You know, sorry, I had to put some wood on the fire too. So everything after that is basically from Adam is more or less keeping the commandments that had been given to Adam, or not keeping the commandments. And since the Nephilim didn't keep the commandments, and Adam didn't keep the instructions, you know, he had been chased out. The Nephilim had been washed off the face of the earth. So to be born to be a Jew first, and then become a Noahide, is a very interesting concept. I really like that.
Huh?
Did you
become a Jew and then become?
Well, you were born to be a Jew, but you don't. You're like, you're not practicing the 613, so you say I want to be an Ohide. You know, like a. I don't know about
no.
You know, if I'm right or wrong about this.
I'm not following that. No. A Jew
no, didn't.
Whatever is in your heart, Mordecai.
Well,
okay.
But the Torah dictates very clear, 6:13 to Israel and 7 to 6:11 for the blessed children of Noah. Joseph, if you'd like to chime in on Wendell Jones's priesthood.
That was really interesting, and it seems like it was really, he really knew what he was talking about. You know, he had studied into it and he found some peace there, and you know, I think it's really important that. It's interesting to look back. I like history, and from a historical point of view, it definitely did start with Adam, and then the instructions, and then there was a covenant made with Noah, and then that those laws were there, and they're, you know, it's basically understood that the life was in the blood, and man wasn't to eat blood, and you know, we're supposed to respect the sanctity of life, you know. That's that everybody, even before they even had the scriptures as far as like we have today, this was all, it's really to be understood, and it's really already within us if you really meditate on it, you know, because we have a conscience, and it's, you know, you can see that those things are wrong. And the Most High made a promise with all the human race, and like even marked by the rainbow. We saw like 5 or 6 rainbows the other day. It was really beautiful. But just to say, you know, the next step the Most High made, because it is a progressive light. Like, it's interesting to trace it all back to Noah, yet at the same time, we got to move forward. You know, Noah's going to be here. You know, I'm just saying, like, there's a lot more to the story than that. So we got to be progressive. And the next step that he made was to Abraham, which after the world went to idolatry again and broke the Noahide commandment, the pact, the covenant, then he made another covenant with Abraham, and it was also to bless the entire human race. And so...
Dennis, we got 45 seconds. What do you have to say?
Go in peace.
Okay. Gentlemen, I'd like to thank you all. This has been So class number 43, hopefully in the next class when we all get together, we'll get back to those prophets of Bilam and Israel. Dundas Goodman signing off. Ahav echad, one love, goel echad, one destiny, l'kolano, for all of us, v'darchen v'dachashom, in a peaceful, pleasant way. We have a little redemption song by Bob Marley. Take care, everyone.
Shalom.
Almighty.